Brother Dana, you come preach to us. Love Brother Dana Williams. Give him a good welcome. Good to have you.
All right, let's take our Bibles, if you will, for a few moments tonight and turn to Mark's Gospel in chapter number 1. I want to, for these few days we have together, to look at some places that Jesus visited while he was here on earth. I thought about Bethlehem when he was born in that manger. I thought about Jordan, where he was baptized. I thought about the Mount of Transfiguration, the wilderness of temptation. A lot of places that Jesus went to. Of course, Calvary, where he was crucified, the tomb where he was buried, the place of his ascension. And I want to emphasize three or four of those places. And the thing that I would press upon your heart is if he was visiting those places in those days, it could be he might be at your place. He might run by your situation. May have been there this morning when you got up. Did you recognize him? But for a few moments tonight, I want to emphasize that Jesus is in the house. There are over 60 references to the house in the four Gospels. Many of those refer to Jesus. Of all the places that he seemed to like to go to, it seems like that it is his desire to go into the homes of people. He wanted to visit the houses and the homes of these people. And I think that it's true in this hour. I think Jesus is pleased that you're here at his house. I think that he doesn't want us to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He wants us to come together. And he wants you to come to his house. But I'll tell you, as much or even more, I think Jesus wants to spend some time with you at your house. Because if the only time that you spend with Jesus is at his house, you might get 3 to 5 hours, depending on how long-winded your preacher is. And that ain't much. But I'm glad he's interested in going home with us. He loves to visit his people. And so let's read down through this text here where he's in Simon Peter's house. Of course, you know, the Bible said when he called Zacchaeus down from the tree, he said, I must abide at thy house. When he called Matthew from collecting taxes, he went home with him. He was in the house of several of the Pharisees. Jesus loved to visit the homes and houses, as I say. So let's read this text, and I simply want to say four or five things about Jesus is in the house. Look in verse 29, if you will. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of the fever. Then anon or immediately they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils. And suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Jesus is in Simon Peter's house, but he also wants to be in your house. He wants to be in my house. He wants to be with you when you're at your best.
That's right here. When we come to the house of God, we dress our best. We look our best. We try to be our best. But he sort of likes to spend time with you when you're at your worst. And most of the time, that's where people know you best, at the house. And so as I look down through this text, I want to emphasize three or four thoughts about Jesus is in the house. First of all, I'd suggest to you that Jesus is in the house, and thank God he's not picky. It is here we find that he goes into a fisherman's house. He goes into Simon Peter's house. But that's not the only home that he enters into. We know that when he went to Zacchaeus' house and he went to Matthew's house, they were referred to as sinners. He also went into the homes of some of the priests and some of the Pharisees, some of the religious folks of that hour. It seemed as though that he was in wealthy homes at times, and then at other times he seemed to be in poor homes. In those homes, he was in the presence of children. He was in the presence of ladies. He was in the presence of men. He was in these homes, but thank God he was not picky. He did not refuse to go into a home because of the status quo or because of what kind of a reputation the person had in the community. He'd go home with just about anybody if they had asked him to. Good news, children. If he'd go home with Simon Peter, and if he'd go home with Zacchaeus, and if he'd go home with Matthew, I reckon he'd go home with you. Amen. As a matter of fact, I know that Jesus would go home with you. You say, well, how do you know he'd go home with me? Because one day he went home with me. And if Jesus doesn't mind going to my house, I don't think he'll mind going to your house. Now I understand that if you knew me like I know me, you may not even come and hear me preach. But don't look so holy. Because if I knew you like you know you, I probably wouldn't want to preach to you. But the good news is Jesus knows us all. And thank God he's interested. He ain't picking and he ain't choosing. You don't have to live on a certain level. I'm glad, as the song says, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. I'm so glad that I can take this message anywhere to anybody that Jesus is interested in you, and he'd like to come to your house and spend some time with you. Hallelujah. Jesus is in the house. He ain't picky. Now, second thing that I want to emphasize, Jesus is in the house. And you ladies, I don't know if you'll appreciate this thought to begin with. I get a lot of amens out of the men right here because I want to emphasize that Jesus is in the house. He wants to be in the house. He wants to come to your house, but thank God it don't have to be clean. Amen. Woo! Don't you like that? Now, I'm not for uncleanliness. As a matter of fact, there is that saying that cleanliness is next to godliness. I don't know. Maybe that's so, maybe it ain't. But I just want to be honest with you. There's some cleanliness that don't make sense to me. For instance, making a bed never has made sense to me. Now, my wife is religious about it. She wants that bed made every morning. I said, why? Even if somebody comes, they got no business in the bedroom. And what are we going to do tonight anyway but get right back in the bed and mess it up? But no, for the ladies, they not only have to make the bed, they got to buy all these extras that you pile on top of the bed. Now, I'm not again house cleaning, and I don't mind. You can ask my wife. I don't mind helping out in the kitchen or whatever, but I'd rather clean three kitchens and make one bed. I'd about have a nervous breakdown thinking about making a bed. And sometimes she'll go off with some of the youngins and be gone 2 or 3 days, and I promise you I don't make no bed. But here's the truth of the matter. If you somehow think you're going to get your house in order so that when he gets there, it's going to be acceptable to him, you're going to be missing it by a long shot. And how many times have you heard a couple say, "Preacher, we get things straightened out in life, we're thinking about coming to church." Preacher, if I can just turn over a new leaf and if I can get things changed around, I tell you, I'm thinking about taking on a little religion. I may just pass by that way. Well, you might as well forget it. You're never going to do that. But Jesus didn't come to you because you were clean and holy and righteous. He came to you because you were a sinner. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Hey! I noticed when Jesus was going to someone's house, he never prepared them for that visit. He did not go to Zacchaeus up in that tree and say, "Zacchaeus, come on down, but by the way, send ahead and let your wife know we're coming so she can clean some stuff up." Now, he's recognized as a sinner. Who knows what's going on in his house? Who knows what's in his refrigerator? Who knows the setting that is there? But Jesus doesn't mind that. He wants to come to your house when it's just like it is. Because you see, he's the best house cleaner ever was. He left the portals of glory where there never had been a speck of dust or sin of any kind. And he can enter into the worst of situations, and when he's done, he can clean it out. Let him check your refrigerator. He'll tell you if it's all right or not. Let him check your television channels. He'll tell you whether it's all right or not. Let him check all of those. Let him in the house, all the house. Let him say, "Lord, come on in and clean the house." Well, I was a wreck when he come to me. Impossible to have cleaned me up. Impossible. But thank God, I'm glad he's in the cleaning business, aren't you? Jesus is in the house. He's not picky. Jesus is in the house. Thank God it doesn't have. Hey! It doesn't have to be clean. That's what he's there for, is to clean the house. Clean the house. Now notice with me, if you will, down in verse number 32. The Bible said, "And that even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with the devil. And all the city was gathered about at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases." I want to suggest to you that Jesus is in the house. He's not picky. Jesus is in the house. It doesn't have to be clean. But Jesus is in the house because he knows you're going to need him. Every house that he goes into, it's amazing that he can get there at the right time. Because he knows that there's going to arise an impossible situation. And here it is with Simon Peter's wife, who is bedfast. She can't even wait on herself. Everybody else is having to wait on her. But bless his name, just by his being there, he is able to touch her, take her by the hand, and after he does so, it's just a few moments until they're not waiting on her anymore. She's waiting on them. Read the text. She is up and about. You see, it's good to have Jesus, not just at church. I'm glad we can come and find him at church. But honey, I didn't just come here to find Jesus. I'm glad to report to you, he came with me in the car. Amen. And he's at the house with me. I'm glad that Jesus is at the house so that when you really do need him for whatever the need is, he's not far You don't want to need Jesus. Now, thank God for a good preacher. Thank God for a good church. Thank God for saints that can pray for you and hold you up before God. And I'm glad for all of those. But I'm going to tell you something even better than that is having Jesus close enough to where you don't have to call long distance. You don't have to say, honey, get on the phone and see if you can get the preacher. Get on the phone and see if you can get grandma. And again, they are wonderful. But thank God just to know that Jesus is so close that all you got to do is get on your knees and he's already there for whatever the need is. And only God knows what the needs are that can arise in our lives. I'm glad Jesus said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I'm glad he'll always be there in time of need. May it be within our hearts to open the doors of our houses to say, Lord, I want you to dwell here and know that he's there for whatever the miracle is in your life that's needed.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is in the house. He's not picky. Jesus is in the house. It don't have to be clean. He'll clean it. Jesus is in the house. There's going to be a need. And he is there to meet that need. But you know, I was thinking, and I'll just throw this out as an extra thought. There's a couple of places where Jesus was in the house. One of them was where the lady broke the alabaster box and anointed his feet. And of course, that was a very expensive substance. And there was somebody else in the house that didn't like it. You remember that? Somebody tell me who that was. Judas. He said, why, you could have sold that. Like he really cared. Sounded like a politician, didn't he? Said, you could have sold that and fed the poor. He'd have got elected right away on that one. But the thought arose to me is that Jesus is in the house. But you can expect while he's in the house, there's the spirit of another that wants to be there also to hinder what he's doing. And the only way the devil can do it is he has to operate through somebody. He is a spirit. He operated through Judas. At one point in time, Jesus even told Simon, he said, get thee behind me. So he's trying to work through Simon. I'm going to tell you, the devil would like to work through you and through me. And let us realize that when Jesus is in the house trying to do wondrous things on our behalf, let us not become vessels to which we can hinder what he's trying to do. Let us not be the ill spirit. Let us not be the bitter spirit. Let us not be the anger spirit. Don't let yourself be the devil in the situation.
Amen.
Jesus is in the house. The devil's there also. Run him out. But I want to look at those last few verses there. Sad note, the Bible said. Look down in verse number 35. Jesus has healed so many. And then in verse number 35, the Bible said, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, and here's the phrase, and departed. I say to you, Jesus is in the house. He's not picky. Jesus is in the house. It doesn't have to be clean. Jesus is in the house. He's wanting to perform a miracle for you. But in this last thought, I want you to notice that Jesus is in the house. Please don't take him for granted. Please don't take him for granted. I think in this text, probably if I could pick one of the greatest days and places at the same time in Israel, it would be right here. The reason being is that in this little town, who would imagine that there were so many sick people there? Who would have comprehended that there were even demon-possessed people there? Who could have contemplated that there was There was so much darkness in one place. You know, darkness really is not comprehended until the light comes on. And then you can see the distinction. And the reason why the darkness has come so much to light is because Jesus is there revealing it. And you can see in the contrast that the difference between him and those demonic spirits and the difference between his wholeness and healing power and all those that were sick and all those who were afflicted. It was a perfect time for them to come together. And while Jesus was in that little house, just one little house, I've already emphasized what he did in the one little house, and I want to tell you, thank God, I want to thank God for what he's done in my house. But isn't it amazing that if you let him in your house, he'll begin to work beyond your doors and touch some other houses? Huh? And here in this one little place, there comes this drawing power as people begin to notice there's something different. There's somebody in that house! And they're being drawn to that house. Those neighbors and those sick folks and those demon possessed. And in these one 24 hour period, the Bible tells us that many, many, many were healed. Amen. Now, could you imagine have been on the streets of Capernaum and a man who has begged most of his life because he has not been able to walk has been taken into that house. And now he can walk as good as any man. And he comes to that door and he reaches down and he picks up maybe one or two of his youngins and he says to his wife with tears, "Honey, we won't be begging anymore. I can work like anybody else can work." And I can see his family in jubilee going down the street. Just that little flock praising God and the mom and daddy and all the kinfolk. Just that one, just that one. You know, it's sort of like when a drug addict that's destroyed his life comes to Jesus. And boy, that family realizes that things are different. Amen. There's some praising going Amen. On there. And you can see that other man coming out who had been blind and now he's able to see the beauty of God's creation and he's praising God just like the man in the temple that was healed when Simon Peter walked by with his shadow. And the Bible said he got up and carried those two disciples leaping and praising God. Amen. Lets me know they wasn't Baptists, I'll tell you that right now. What a wonderful day it would have been when the mom and daddy stood there and looked at that son that had given them so much trouble and had been so possessed and oppressed by the devil was delivered and clothed as the maniac of Gadara. And in his right mind, they're praising God because they're going to be able to lay down that night and realize when they get up in the morning that boy's going to be all right. They won't have to wonder where he's at. And the whole city is erupting in jubilation because the great and many needs were met because Jesus was in one house. Amen. Boy, I'm going to tell you, if we'd give him complete reign in your house, in your house, in your house, only God knows the darkness that's in Avery County and in Mitchell County. It can only be brought to light when Jesus begins to do his work. But he wants to do his work out of your home. Amen. I'd have loved to have been at that place, shouting and singing and praising God because of the great miracles come out of one house that Jesus has been invited in. It may be your house he's going to use up that holler. It may be your house he's going to use on that block. It may be your house he's going to use on that country road. He may want to be in there just not only to meet your need, but he wants to reach and radiate beyond that. I say it was a grand and glorious day at that house, at that place. And on that day, that's to me was one of the greatest days in the Bible. But when I read that next verse, and the Bible said in that little old two-word phrase, I think I'm feeling one of the sadder notes in Scripture. he departed. Now even the disciples are alarmed at that. They hunt him down. But he has departed. And the thing that burdens my heart when I think about it is being on those same streets the next day, realizing what had happened just 24 hours prior. And walk down those streets, and obviously there were still some there, and finding people that were lame, finding people that were blind, finding that the devil was still having his way in folks' lives, and I'm stopping in tears and I'm saying, why are you still in this condition? Did you not know Jesus was here yesterday and he was in that home and he could have helped you? The truth of the matter is, if Jesus is not there, you mark it down, there's nothing good that can happen. Amen. Sinners cannot be saved in the absence of Christ. Hearts cannot be ministered to where there is no Christ. We can't even come together. It is in vain that we come together to even try to worship him. The only way you can worship him is when he shows up.
Amen.
I like it where the little boy's riding home one day. His mom and dad, and he said, Daddy, how come the preacher always calls church the house of God? He said, well, because it is the house of God. He said, well, how come he ain't never home? Well, I like for him to be there, don't you?
Amen.
And I want to know that his presence is prevailing in those places. But I'm here to tell you, we're living in a country that has begun to push back and reject the Christ of Calvary. They don't want him at the White House, and they don't want him at the schoolhouse. But the question is, do you want him at your house? But there's no way that anything can ever be accomplished unless Jesus is there. And honey, it's too late. The Bible said he has.